Hey, this is Pastor Spencer with Racine Bible Church. You're listening to a sermon from a Sunday morning. Thank you.
Lord Jesus, Son of God, our Savior, our Lord, our Master, Lamb of God, we ask that now in this moment, you would overcome us. Overcome by the truth of your word, our unbelief. God, we will drown in doubts and in miserable unbelief unless you overcome our unbelieving hearts. Lamb of God, overcome in this moment, overcome the misery of our selfishness. We will hang ourselves on ropes of self-will and proud selfishness unless you overcome our selfishness by the selfless sacrifice of the cross, the Lamb of God dying for us. Lamb of God, overcome us in this hour as we open your word. For Jesus' glory, we ask this. Amen. Amen. I want to challenge you this morning in some choices that you need to make in the new year. I love to do a special series in the beginning of the year, a special New Year's series, because we all need help. We all lose focus. We all need to get back on track, and this is the time to do that. So I want to talk this morning about three choices that you will make in the year 2018. And these three choices are choices that you will make in 2018. These aren't choices that you, I'm not trying to convince you to make these choices, because some of you will choose not to make these choices. Every single one of you will make these choices. Now, some of you are contrarian and you're automatically thinking, well, I'm not going to have to make these choices, or you're going to try to think of a way to lawyer yourself out of this as if you don't have to make these choices. But every one of these choices is not whether, it's which. It's which way you'll go in each of these areas, because each of these three areas will have a significant impact on your life individually, and then also in your family, in your workplace, in your church. These three choices. And so there's these three areas. The first area is relationships. The second area is inputs. And the third area is focus. And even though I don't have the spiritual gift of outlining, I'll give you kind of a way to understand all three of these things as we move through them. So the first one is relationships. And you could write down next to that, relationships, you could write down next to that, who I choose to be with, or for the grammar police, you could write whom I choose to be with. Either way is fine with me. But this is the area of those people that you choose to bring in close in your life. Who's that going to be? And the choice is between fellowship with believers or isolation from believers. That's the choice. Fellowship with the saints or removal from fellow believers. It's the difference between eagerly trying to find encouragement from others who are pursuing Christ. It's the choice between eagerly trying to find encouragement from other people who are pursuing Christ, or the choice to eagerly avoid people who are pursuing Christ. That's the choice you're going to make. And every one of you will have to make that choice. Our text for this primarily will be Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 through 25. Hebrews chapter 10, picking it up in verse 22, it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. If your Bible's open like mine is there to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 to 25, just look there with me at verse 22. It says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of our faith. And then look at verse 22, with our hearts sprinkled clean. All of us together, our hearts are sprinkled clean. And then keep looking at verse 22, from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's all of us together. And then you can't miss it in verse 23. It says, let us hold fast. And then it says in verse 24, let us consider one another. And then verse 25 says, not neglecting to meet together. What are your relationships going to provide for you in your spiritual advancement in the year 2018? A house that's empty and isolated from the neighbors is the house that's easy to rob. If you have no relationship with your neighbors, they don't know if you're home or not, and they don't care if you're home or not because you don't have any relationship with them, and you go away for vacation for a week or two, your house is the easiest house for thieves to target because it's isolated and nobody's caring about it. But if, like you should be, you're close with your neighbors and you care about them and they care about you, and you go ahead and tell your neighbors, we're going to be gone for the next week, then your neighbors are looking out for your house. It's very difficult for thieves to break into that house. It's the same for you in your all of the treasures on your trip to heaven. Are they going to be guarded or are they going to be stolen? If you are communicating with your fellow church members and they care about you, then you become someone that it's very difficult for that arch thief to come in and steal the joy of your salvation and everything that you have. But if you are isolated from the fellow believers around you, you don't have those relationships. They don't know if you're here or there. They don't even know because you're not really with them. Then you become an easy target for that arch thief who comes to steal and kill and destroy. And I don't want one of you to be stolen from or to be killed or destroyed this year. And this is how we can ensure that. The relationships that we have with others. You look at our text, it says in verse 23, let us hold fast. And then it says in verse 24, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast to our faith, to Jesus. And then it says in verse 24, let us consider how to encourage each other. The way for you to hold fast to Jesus over the long haul is to continually receive encouragement from the people around you. Those who quit and stop holding fast. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast. Those who quit and stop holding fast are always those who, verse 24, don't get any encouragement from others and don't give any encouragement to others. But those who hold fast to Jesus and make it over the long haul, verse 23, are always those who, verse 24, are always encouraging others and always receiving encouragement from others. Mark this down. Immaturity and isolation always go together. Maturity and healthy Christian relationships always go together. Isolation and immaturity always go together. But maturity and healthy Christian relationships always go together. This is so very true. This would be a very easy point to bring up here, illustrations. Some of you are in this service. You could easily come up here and say, there was a time in my life when I didn't hold fast to Christ. And a major factor there was that I was isolated from the people in this church and I didn't let them into my life. And I could bring up others who are holding fast to Christ, and they could easily give a testimony right now that one of the main factors that's keeping them steady in Christ is the encouragement that they have from the relationships that they're with. If you talk to those who have endured, you will find that they have chosen friends who have helped them endure. If you talk to those who have shipwrecked, if they have eyes to see, they'll tell you they chose friends who helped them shipwreck. Make sure your friends are centered on Christ. It is true that if your closest friends don't love Jesus, you will find more and more reasons not to love Jesus. And it is true that if your closest friends love Jesus, you will find more and more reasons to love Jesus. Proverbs 13, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. The companion of fools suffers harm, Proverbs 13, verse 20. Here at RBC, those relationships mostly happen in our ABFs. It's kind of it's a pretty simple process. We want you to come here, be here in worship service. And then the second step is stay and attend an ABF. There's even a third step after that. Like if the ABF is relatively big, find a smaller group in that ABF or find an area of service and make sure that you've got relationships where people know you and you know them and you work together. If it's 0 degrees or negative 12 degrees and your car breaks down, you're in trouble. But if your car breaks down on 11 and 31, you'll probably be all right. You're within eye shot of Walmart Supercenter, and they have everything you could possibly need in Walmart Supercenter. But if it's 12 degrees below zero and your car breaks down on some isolated back road, what are you going to do? Too many of you are too isolated. And when you break down, you've put yourself in a position where no one's going to go after you. No one's going to be able to help you. Those of you who are here regularly, who are not isolated, there's a challenge for you in this point too. Who are you going after? Who are you investing in? Who are you, that straying brother or sister? Are you encouraging them to come back? Invest in Christian discipleship. In 2018, invest in healthy relationships of Christian discipleship. We can help you with that. There's easy ways to do that in our youth ministry. You can talk to Dan about helping our middle schoolers or high schoolers. There's easy ways to do that in the Crosswalk ministry. You can call Donna this week about ways to help with that. There are lots of ways to do that, even in your ABF. Just talk with your ABF leaders and say, you know, who can I help in here? How can I get a little group started? We want to help each other. So that's the first point. In 2018, make the choice to invest in healthy Christian discipleship relationships. The second point, input. Input, and you could write next to that, what I choose to take in. What I choose to take in. What I choose to listen to. What I choose to read. What I choose to watch. What I choose to flip through on my phone. Input, what I choose to take in. This is the choice between an increased appetite for the pure milk of the word or an increased appetite for the junk food of the world. And this is a choice that you will make. You can't choose not to make this choice. You will make it one way or the other. It's not whether, but which. An increased appetite for the pure milk of the word or an increased appetite for the junk food of the world. This choice is between my Bible, is becoming sweeter and sweeter to me, or my Bible is becoming more boring and less dynamic as my days go on. That's the choice. Hebrews is all about listening to the Word of God. Hebrews begins in chapter 1 by talking about the revelation from God. It says in Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed the heir of all things, and through whom also he created the world. And then Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. And then three times it's repeated It begins in chapter 3, verse 7, where it says, the Holy Spirit says, today, hear his voice and do not harden your hearts. And then 3:15 says the same thing. Today, hear his voice and do not harden your hearts. And 4:7 says the same thing. Today, hear his voice and do not harden your hearts. Take in the Bible and hear his voice. Of course, Hebrews 4:12-13, it's the Bible that's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hear it. Take it to heart and hear it. Take it to heart and hear it. Good Bible teaching, good Bible reading doesn't mean good Bible teaching and good Bible reading doesn't mean that as soon as I read it, I like it. Good Bible teaching and good Bible reading means that it is faithful to do the work that the sword of the Spirit was sent to do. In 2 Timothy 3 says that every word from God is inspired and is profitable for teaching and reproof and rebuke and all of that. And then 2 Timothy 4:1 says, I charge you in the presence of God, Jesus Christ risen from the dead, preach the word in season and out of season. And then in 2 Timothy 4:3, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure good Bible teaching, but they will want their ears to be tickled. The mark of good Bible teaching, the mark of good Bible reading is not that it immediately makes you feel good. The mark of faithful Bible teaching and faithful Bible reading is that you let the Word of God say what it is saying, and then you take it in. Thus, it always requires repentance. Thus, the inputs that you choose, if you choose to take in the Bible or not, depends on your willingness to repent, your readiness to listen. Will you take it in? Will you take it in? Of course, the barrier to your knowledge of the Bible is that you don't know enough about the Bible. But for many of you, your current barrier to your knowledge of the Bible is your knowledge of the Bible. Because you already read through the Bible several times. So why read through it again in 2018? Well, I want to rouse you out of your complacent assumption that you already know what's in the Bible. You don't. You may know some data that's in there, but you don't really know what's in there. Because what's in there is living and active. And every time you approach it, it has a way of getting underneath you and behind you and into your attitudes and into what you call your personal business. I long to see you absorb the Bible at a deeper level of your consciousness and your awareness of your personhood this year than you did last year. You need to read the Bible with a repentant heart, with fresh affections, and with eyes that are open. In 2018, will you make the choice to invest in Bible teaching, Bible reading, Bible meditation, Bible memorization? Make the choice to receive that input. And then the third area, that's the second. In 2018, make the choice to invest in Bible input. The first was that in 2018, I want you to make the choice to invest in healthy Christian discipleship relationships. And the third area is focus. The third area is focus. You could write down next to there, where I choose to fix my focus. Where will I choose to fix my focus? And the either or here, you will make this choice. It'll be one or the other. The either or here is, I find my joy and happiness in heaven, or I find all my happiness in this world. I find my joy and happiness in heaven, or I find all my happiness in this world. Those who are spiritually mature long for heaven. One of the books that I got for Christmas, I just started it last night while I was halfway watching the NFL playoffs, is the autobiography of Malcolm Muggeridge, the English journalist who converted to Christianity. And right in the first couple of pages of his autobiography, he says, he said, I don't love, I've never loved this world, and I've never loved my life in this world. And then he goes on in this autobiography to say, I wish that I could show those who recoil at that sentiment that it is because I don't ultimately love this world and my life in this world that I have become able to best serve and help those who live in this world. He went on to talk about his longing to go to heaven. The third area here is focus. Where will I choose to fix my focus? Will I long for heaven, or will I find all of my happiness in this world? We'll see, our text for this is also from Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 34 through 36. I love these verses. Look at them with me. Hebrews 10, 34 to 36. It says, for you had compassion, 10:34, you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. These are interesting verses, because it says that your property got plundered and taken away from you, and you were joyful about that. What? Well, think about it. This is what for real is happening in this text. I think the historical situation that is behind this text, it actually went down like this. Certain members of the church were arrested for being Christians and put in jail. So that actually happened. Like somebody in the row down from you, they were taken and arrested and put in jail because they were a Christian. Then you have a choice. That person, three or four people down from you in the row, how much do you care about them? They're in jail. You can stay out of jail and keep all your stuff if you pretend that you don't know them. Or you could leave your house, walk through the marketplace and down the road and go to the prison and bring them some bread, bring them something to eat, and bring them a cloak to stay warm, and tell them that you love them. But as soon as you do that, everybody who runs that prison now identifies you also as a Christian. And then that you're the next one who they come to your house and they plunder your property and possibly they throw you in jail. What this text is saying, if you look at it, it's not saying you went down and took care of them because you loved that person three people down from you in the row so much. It's not even so much talking about relationships. I mean, look what it says in verse 34. You had compassion on those in prison. You joyfully accepted the plundering of your property since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. You knew that the stuff of this world is never the stuff that was going to make me happy anyway. You knew that being out of jail and happy in this life was never what this life was all about anyway. That's what verse 34 is saying. You made the investment, that the exact investment that Jesus has in mind. Remember these words, Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not lay up and lay up. Remember that? Jesus says in Matthew 6, 19, do not lay up. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why? Where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But do lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Why? Where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. That's what verse 34 is saying, that you know you have this focus of the longing of the joys of heaven that makes it worth losing in this world. You see it in Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 16. By faith, Abraham obeyed. I'm in 11:8. When he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to that city that has foundations and whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of the heavens and as many as the innumerable grains of sand on the seashore. Verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, for people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they'd gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. This is so wonderful. I hope you see in this third point of where you fix your focus that it is ultimate immaturity to try to find your happiness in this world. It is ultimate maturity to know that your happiness is coming when the kingdom of heaven is finally revealed. Those who are immature have no faith in the world to come. All that they can see is what's going to happen next weekend. Those who are spiritually mature have come to see and realize that they are living for a city whose builder and maker is God, which is yet to be revealed. And this goes right along with what happened in chapter 10, where they were glad to let go of their stuff. Because why would I want to lay up treasures down here where my ultimate life, it doesn't exist anyway? You see, those of you who see Christ's glory as big and mighty and strong, you see what you have to give up for Christ as small and weak and almost nothing. But those of you here this morning who see the world's glory as big and mighty and strong, then what happens is you see the things that you have to give up for Jesus as almost impossible to let go of. Have you seen the greatness and the glory of Jesus Christ or not? If you haven't fixed your focus on the glory of Christ, then the prospect of losing in this life becomes almost too much to bear. But if you have seen the greatness and glory of Christ, then the things that you have to give up for Christ are so small that you're glad to let go of them. Those who are mature walk by faith in the world which is soon to come, and their maturity helps them meditate on the soonness of its coming, Maranatha. Those who are immature invest everything down here because they can't possibly see that the other world is coming. Nothing strengthens your faith like seeing the world to come in contrast to this world. This is behind our order of service every week. This is why we sing the songs that we sing. This is why we preach the word. This is why we have ABFs, so that your focus will be fixed on the glory of Jesus Christ. Because the more you can see the glory of the gospel, the goodness of the gospel, the more everything else will move along, right along with it. You struggle with sin, a sin habit that you want to break. If your vision of the future and the coming glory of Jesus is strong, that itself becomes a sword that can sever the cords that sin is binding you with. It's when thoughts of heaven are dull that the pleasures that sin offers seem so real, and you have nothing but a blunt instrument to try to sever those cords with. But if your vision of the glory of Jesus and the glory of heaven is sharp, then that's what severs the cords that draw you to sin. If your thoughts of heaven are dull, then the foggy things of this world seem so attractive that you never want to give them up. So I'm calling you to labor to get heaven as real as it can be. Behold the glory of Christ as big and as beautiful as you can. Our commitment, Brennan's commitment in putting together our worship services is that the songs that we sing and the way that we sing them will lead to that. That's my commitment in preaching the word. That's our commitment in fostering the ABF ministry, that one anothering that happens in the ABF ministry, that this will happen. All to help you walk by faith. To walk by faith and hold on and hold fast. These are the three choices. Relationships, the people that you'll be with, inputs, what you'll take in your reading, in your meditation, in your heart, and your focus. Where will you fix your focus? We have the opportunity now. We have the opportunity now to reflect on our relationship with Jesus. We're so united to Jesus that we take him in, and we are in him, and he is in us. We have the opportunity now not just to take bread alone, but to take the gospel truth of Jesus Christ, the bread of God, come down to feed us, to save us. And we have the opportunity now to fix our focus on Christ, not an imaginary figment of imagination, but as real as a piece of bread in your hand, as real as a drink going down your throat, to focus on the glory of Jesus and his goodness and his love. Let's pray.
To find out more about our ministry, contact us at racinebible.org. Thank you.